Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show.
All right.
You got your fingers in your nose, man. It's distracting.
What? Why would you look at it?
Because he can't help but see you sitting there in front of him with your fingers up your nose.
All right.
But what is it about your nose, man, that you got to have your fingers up there?
I don't have any tissue because I'm working in a garage.
You're working in a garage. You're working around a lot of exhaust. You're going to get a lot of pollutant and a lot of dust particles and a lot of stuff in your nose. You should have a handkerchief or...
I didn't have a handkerchief. What do you think I am? You know, like Farmer Brown or something?
No, man, I'm Farmer Brown. You got to blow your nose.
You blow your nose, man. What do you mean, Farmer Brown?
You said I have a handkerchief.
A lot of people have handkerchiefs.
Do you?
No, I don't have a handkerchief. I don't carry a handkerchief. I don't know. It's not something that I look down on.
Hey, it looks rural.
Well, what if it does look rural? It's something that you need, so you can make it look urban.
What about that?
It just looks too rural.
Oh, well, it looks too rural. Well, we can't have that now, can we? We'd much rather be urban, which means two fingers up your nose, like you're doing, I don't know what the hell you're doing, some Three Stooges bit, man. It's weird. Secondly...
That's not good.
Hold on. Secondly, it's as rude as hell. You look like a slob, okay? Quit acting like a slob. Go get a tissue or something and blow your nose like a proper human being, okay?
Yes, Dad.
Well, if I got to talk to you like I'm Dad, that's what I got to do.
Don't talk about me, my nose.
Yes, I do, man. If I'm opening the show and I see a guy like that and I can't think, nobody can do it.
You should have better concentration.
Hey, listen, man. Get Mr. Program Director. I love it, man. I'm taking crap from Bud.
I don't know why you put up with it.
Because he's, you know, a good guy. All right.
A good guy? He's a good guy what? Well, I was going to say something improper.
Yeah, don't, okay?
Yeah, I know what you're going to say. Does he store your weed?
Well,
I don't smoke weed. What a hell of a thing to say, Margaret.
I didn't say that.
I don't smoke that stuff, and I do not. I do not. Okay? Endorse people acting in an illegal fashion. If you have a medical marijuana license, I hope you got it legitimately. If you are purchasing marijuana, I hope it is from a medical dispensary. I don't have any positive or otherwise, you know, I do not endorse the illegal use of any drug, period. And guess what? I don't use it myself, and thanks a lot for me having to say that.
Phil, you didn't have to do that.
Yes, I did, because you just dropped that bee in everybody's bonnet. Did I tell you what happened to me at a radio station? I never told you guys this. Oh, this is a great one. And this was one of the greatest moments of my life. Because it was one of those rare moments where you're able to rip into a suit. But I was working at a station, and it will be an unnamed radio station, early on in my career. And I was out smoking a cigarette one night during a news break, but I was smoking it in an area, I don't know, the radio station, because a lot of people don't like smoke. So they used to have these, you know, even back then in the 70s, there were places where you could smoke, places where you couldn't. And I suppose I was in some sort of an unusual place. It was outside. And I also had my pants off. And
no, you didn't.
I'm kidding. No, I didn't. But anyway, a salesperson from the station saw me there, went into the station, and somehow the next day, I get called into the general manager's office, and he says to me, "You smoking weed in this radio station?"
You're kidding.
No, 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 no. I look at this guy, I said, "What?" He said, you heard me. He says, "You heard me." Like he's talking, because I'm a young guy, and a lot of these guys think they're talking to, you're just one step up from a juvenile delinquent, even though you're a professional and you work in the station, you know, they're paying you a salary to be a on-air personality. He says, "You heard me. Are you smoking weed?" I said, "Number one, no, I'm not." I said, "Well," I said, hold on, because it was getting very, I was pissed. The minute he said this, okay.
Well, you're not saying you didn't smoke no weed.
Hold on for a minute, man. I didn't say anything about that. The guy asked me a specific question. He said, "Are you smoking dope here in the radio station?" That's a specific question.
Yeah.
Okay. I said, no, I'm not, and I was telling him the truth. I would never do that. First of all, they're all kinds of federal prescriptions having to do with being within range of federally licensed equipment, which is what radio equipment is, at least the transmitter equipment is, et cetera, so on and so forth. There's a morals clause in your contract, all kinds of stuff. No way. So the guy says, well, he wanted to get it. I said, whoa. I said, I got something to say to you right now, man. I said, somebody told you that. He said, well, that's right. I said, who? He said, well, so-and-so. I said, well, guess what? You got a big problem now. And I wasn't talking at this tone of voice, but I was shaking. I was so pissed. And I said, you got a major problem now. I said, and I'll tell you what your problem. No, Phil. I said, no, hold on, man, because if you keep on talking, I'll just turn right around and leave and call my attorney direct. And that got him to shut up.
Well, every time you mention lawyer.
Well, you know, I didn't want to, but I said, somebody is slandering me within the halls of this radio station. Someone said that I was smoking marijuana, and I was not. And they had no proof of that. And they're now repeating this to multiple people. You, God knows who else. Well, Phil, you know, he just told. I said, yeah, guess what, man? I'm going to make him prove it in a courtroom unless you get him. So I don't know. If I hadn't been that motivated, let's put it that way, and I do regret being angry because anger doesn't really, it doesn't translate very well.
Were you like yelling at the guy and everything?
Yes, I was. I was yelling, and people heard it outside. I let in those days. I would let loose, and I would, you know, if you ever have heard anyone screaming and yelling at a person, that was probably me. You know, that's the way I was, and I'm not proud of it at all, because you don't get anybody on your side. But at that particular time, I was outraged, and you know, it's one thing, man. If you are in trouble for that kind of thing and you do it and you have to get yourself out of it. And it's another thing when you're not guilty of it at all. You just happen to look like a dope smoking hippie. And yeah, I had long hair and a beard and everything, man. It was the time. So make a long story short, I said, you're going to get that guy in here and every single person that he said that to, and he's going to apologize to me or I'm calling my lawyer. I said, I'm not even going to go on the air tonight because I was doing a nighttime unless you do that. And I said, I'm serious, man. I'm leaving now, and I'm not going to be on the air tonight. I'm going to call my lawyer, and you're going to have a big problem here tomorrow. So he said, let me, you know, Phil, all I know is what the guy said. Oh, so I said, you know, it's slightly different now. A minute ago you were asked. He was talking to me in a really, and I think the thing that pissed me off more than anything was his, the way he spoke to me. You know, it was, you, that line, you heard me, oh, man.
Well, you're just thinking of, he became dad to you. My father used to say that. He used to say, Margaret, where have you been? And I'd say, Father, you know that I was with so-and-so. I was going out with a boy in those days. And he said to me, what are you looking at, bud?
I think I've heard this story.
No, you haven't heard this story. He said to me, are you letting him into what my father called the gold mine?
What is the gold mine?
Yeah, I've heard this story.
No, you have. I'm sorry?
What's the gold mine?
Well, three guesses.
Are you kidding? Your father?
Don't you dare say anything about... What are you inferring?
Has he let you into the gold mine? Is that what your father referred to? Sex?
You're probably talking about a lady.
My lady area, yes.
Oh, God!
Don't you talk about my father.
That's the most vile thing. A father talking to a daughter about that?
Hey, what if there's dads listening who do that all the time?
I don't want to know them. I don't want to know any of them. I can see a guy saying, you know, be a young lady and behave like a young lady and don't let anyone, you know, force you in anything you don't want. And that's about as far as the gold mine.
Phil, you are now doing to my father's memory what that radio station general manager did to you as you were enveloped in some fog of dope smoke. I wasn't listening to the story.
No, I wasn't enveloped in a fog of dope smoke. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm sorry, you know, I guess, but you brought the story up.
I loved my father and honored my father, and he never did one thing that was the least bit untoward. He would simply say to us, now you girls, I had, you know, two sisters, there were three girls, and he'd say, now you girls, when I get home at night, I want you in lipstick and your best dresses, and I want you lined up on the stairs so I can go eeny, meeny. And then he'd say, oh, I'm only joking.
So I can go what?
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. What are you laughing at?
Boy, you just said it's a joke. Your old man would have the three daughters lined up and go eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Oh, man.
You know what? You have got a mind. It's almost like your mind is a grease trap, isn't it?
Yeah, but you're the one that brought up all kind of weird stuff about him saying, you know, what did he say about...
The gold mine. Never mind, Robert. You're bumbling and stumbling.
Well, Robert's right. You brought it up. Creeping me out.
All right, Phil, enough of you being creeped out. I was trying to make the point about my father, the way he spoke to me because of the general manager.
Yeah, the general manager said, you know, you heard me. I didn't like that. But, all right, I mean, if that's the way your dad talked, but I just, you know.
Did you have three daughters?
Well,
did you have three daughters?
I can tell you I had a, you know, a young lady, a daughter. So, no way, man, no way. All right.
Well, you're not better than my dad. My dad was way better than you and much wealthier, and you know that.
Yes, thank you, Margaret, for reminding me for the umpteenth time. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with more news of whatever the hell it is we're getting into here. We do have a debate to talk about. Romney accuses the president of weakness abroad, as Obama calls rival all over the map. Let me see. Oh, he calls his rival. He's all over the map with his opinions. Okay, I get it now. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Facebook is
the Phil Henry Show.
Facebook is the Mitt Romney headquarters.
I was going to say, yeah. We'll talk about that, too. Darren Brown is with us. Darren is at Ted's of Beverly Hills, which is the Ted is our sponsor. We had him on Friday night. Darren is the program director of one of our affiliates, just KEX, not KEX, is in Portland. Darren, are you there?
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
What is the station?
Well, right now we're working with a consortium of owners. We have a Quad City radio station right now that is in the Quad Cities there in Iowa and Illinois. We're working with a consortium of people who are trying to get this radio station on the air probably by the end of the year. But right now we don't have any calls. We do call it just as a way of getting the name out of the community. We're just calling it the Quad City Talk Station. But until the time as we get that out into the community, and we have that in the print medium, we got it on the internet, we have a website, and we're going to have a Twitter feed too as well. We don't have a name. We'll just call it the Quad City Talk Station.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about this situation with this program director or this general manager. Have you ever had someone do that?
Well, I've had a lot of I've worked with all kinds of talent from time to time, Phil. We've got a lot of different people who've occurred in line to our radio station, but I've never had anybody who's been on the air and who's been smoking marijuana or smoking dope or bringing on the premises a illicit drug or prohibited drug, because you know we can lose our license. And that's the thing that you really worry about. You're going to lose his license.
No, I'm not talking about actually having dope. I'm talking about somebody suspecting someone and they didn't have any.
I don't think I've ever come across anything like that, but you can't be too careful. You have to understand and come from a place of a person who's in management, Phil, because one of the things that we do when we're in management, one of the things we always have to do is we have to make sure that the people that we have on premises and on staff are people that we can trust, the people that we can have operating, as you just pointed out yourself, Phil, the federally licensed equipment. So if I have somebody out there, they're on the air, they're doing overnight show, let's say they're on the air until 6 o'clock at night, there's a very, very fair portion of the time. These people are by themselves, you know, they're not... these are individuals that are not bothered, they're not with any supervisor per se, but that's with people who are even in a deals band. Sometimes you're one of a two-day team. These are individuals who can be by themselves. And so one of the things that I try to do, and I try to impress my people, is tell them, well, look, if you're going to be on there alone, and I can understand people smoking cigarettes and all of this, of course, nowadays you got to smoke outside because of the OSHA standards. But I cannot have anybody smoking weed. And I cannot have anybody using any kind of coke. And I know that there are places, and you've probably seen these places too, Phil, where they used to provide cocaine. If you can imagine that, they provided, literally provided, cocaine to the staff.
I heard stories. Are you telling me it's true?
I am here to tell you it's true, and I heard about it. It's all in the smaller cities. I know some of the big cities. Where they would provide cocaine to the staff. And this was back in the bad old days. But to provide cocaine to the staff, I think is wrong. Now, to the question of what you were saying...
Well, the thing that happened to me was I had a general manager of the station look at me and say, are you smoking weed? Or he said, are you smoking marijuana? And I said, what? Because I was truly shocked.
Right.
And I said to him, what did you say? And he says, you heard me.
Right. Well, I think that that's how you're looking at that individual and not really sure of them. Let's take, for example, I'll give you an example, Philip. Can you give me an example?
Go ahead.
You know this guy, Ted? The guy that they find out on the freeway? And a guy has a beautiful voice. You know, what a guy And you look at the guy that has a voice like Hank was trying to find out. What's up with that guy? And I never did find out.
You talking about this guy, Ted, that the homeless guy?
Yeah, I'm talking about Ted, the homeless guy. This guy with a beautiful voice. And you think to yourself, well, I just found myself $1 million voice. I got a guy who can do the imaging writers for the radio station, and a guy that can do all kinds of things, maybe do some news. And I'd love to see a guy like that do the news for our radio station. Then the next thing you find out, he's a junkie. He's a junkie. And one of the things that you really kind of ask yourself the question is somebody reliable. Now, if I got a guy at the radio station like this Ted guy, and as you know, this guy had a beautiful voice, right?
Yeah, I still hear that guy's voice.
On the back road, Keith?
Huh?
On that macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, macaroni and cheese commercial, and he's still doing that.
Yeah, because a beautiful voice, beautiful read, and he was obviously his coach, not coach, but he was directed very well. But now here's a guy that's a junkie. And not only is a junkie, he probably was on methamphetamine and all kinds of, probably some kind of barbiturate narcotic. Now, are you going to have an individual like that at your radio station responsible for billions of dollars of radio equipment? I don't think so. And so that is something to consider. Now, we were the conclave. We were there in Minnesota, right?
Yeah, well, did you go to that? Because I was invited and I didn't go.
Yeah, I went to the Minneapolis conclave.
Okay, how was it?
Well, we were up there. I was talking the very thing to a couple of friends of mine who program stations in the upper Midwest. A couple of them were programming stations. In fact, they wanted me to come up and manage two of them and consult three more. And I've got all I can handle the Quad Cities talk station. But I got so many people who want me to come up and consult and to manage. And I can throw the towel in tomorrow, and I can start consulting radio stations. I'll tell you right now, it's a lucrative business. And one that I think I'd make a fair penny at.
So what were you guys talking about the conclave?
Well, we were talking about the very thing that we're talking about, on-air people that are using narcotics of some kind.
Well, to me, that sounds like such an old, antiquated topic. I mean, are people really that stupid that they're using drugs on the air?
No, but they could be using drugs. And you want to make sure that you're squeaky clean to the community, Phil.
Well, yeah, okay, but if it's not affecting a guy's job, how are you ever going to know if it's not affecting job performance?
What does that mean?
What it means is this. If job performance is not being affected, if somebody's coming in, doing a good job, and leaving, then why would you worry?
Well, I think that they're not doing it. If they're using drugs, they're not doing a good job. That's the whole point that I'm trying to make, and people don't understand. I try to tell people this all the time. I try to tell them it's the conclave. I didn't know that, you know, John Brain's a very good friend of mine, and I thought he was doing a good job, and I found out he wasn't doing a good job, because I found out that he was an alcoholic. Okay, so...
Well, what does that mean, you thought he was doing a good job?
I thought he was doing an outstanding job. He was doing the morning show for us. And he did the morning show probably for, I think he did the morning show there at Quad Talk Radio for about 4 or 5 years. And then I found out that he was a raging alcoholic, and that's when I realized he'd been doing a really bad job.
That doesn't make any sense. If the guy was doing a good job, and then you found out he was what did you call him, a raging?
Yeah, the guy was a roaring, screaming, raging alcoholic. And on top of that, he was gay. There's nothing wrong with being gay. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But you got to let me know up front, because if people see you out with a boy, and when I say a boy, the guy was of age. He was an 18-year-old. He was a man, and it was legal. But he was also a raging, roaring alcoholic, and on top of that, you're going to be a roaring queen, too? So you have a roaring, raging queen.
Well, let's not use words like queen, okay? It's the 21st century.
I apologize. You know, let's not use words like queen unless, of course, you're having a queen weekend. This is exactly what we were having last week. I have to laugh because at the FM station we were doing a Freddie Mercury tribute. And I said to our production director, I said, why don't we do a roaring, call it a roaring queen weekend? He said, well, I don't get it. And I said, you don't get what? He said, what does that mean, a roaring? I said, well, what kind of impression do you get when I say to you that this weekend we're going to do a raging, roaring queen weekend? And he said, I don't know, Queen Elizabeth. And I said, we're talking about Queen the group.
Yeah, but you were also making a reference to roaring queen as in flaming.
Yeah, right, exactly. Very femme. Fans would call femme. Is that what they say, Sam?
I think that's more of a lesbian term. All right, I have to...
I didn't know that. Lesbian term, too?
I got to get going. Yeah, thanks. Okay,
You blow me off?
Yeah, a little bit, because you're talking too fat.
Everybody said I'd blow them off. Or they blow me off and say I'm talking too fat. Well, look, Phil, I appreciate it very much. I hope I helped you out. And,
Well, I feel that, I feel it's a new day and age. I think we should talk to talent or even anybody in any profession. Let's talk to everybody with respect. And I used to be at stations where I'd see fist fights break out.
Well, we don't need that anymore. Certainly don't need that. Although, you know, when I said Roaring Raging Queen, that's when John Bain, who was a very good friend of mine, said, "Are you talking about me?" And I said, "No, I'm talking about the group." I said, "Why? Are you one?" And I went, you know, I just had a, I had a laugh at him.
All right, thanks very much, Darren. Darren Brown, he's working there in the Quad Cities. That's in Iowa, Illinois, with a new talk station. And
what did he say?
I'm not really sure what he said. I know that I asked him about my situation, and did he have he talk? I don't know.
That was you're gonna have to go back and find out what he said.
Yeah, could we pull the tapes and I can listen to it one more time? We'll be right back. Darren Brown, he's a long time. I've known Darren.
Well, did you ever work with that man?
No, I never worked with him. He's just a guy that I bring on occasionally to consult with on topics having to do with radio. I was just reminiscing here with our good, close, personal friend Dan Northcraft about our days in Miami at WIOD. That was a great radio station, truly a great radio station. We had 24/7 good talent. And I was also mentioning The Loop in Chicago when it had Steve Dahl, Kevin Matthews, and Jonathan Brandmeier. That was a legendary station. So there have been from time, what I'm trying to say here is there have been from time to time talk stations that did not pander to this political talk instinct that every program director thinks he has to do. Those were basically entertainment talk stations, and they had morning show type shows 24/7, so it was a lot of fun.
So now you're going to pander to that by reading the story about Obama.
Exactly. Now I'm going to pander to talk radio, and I'm going to read the story about Obama. Thank you very much, Margaret. Romney accuses president of, what do you mean, pander?
Well, why are you reading about Romney?
Because I happen to want to see this story. That's why. Please don't touch the microphone.
What did I do?
You touched the microphone, and it went blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I can't touch it.
I don't take... First of all, don't ever say the words to me, "You can't touch it." Because there are people that might...
People that might what?
Yeah.
Misconstrue that.
To mean what?
Phil, I don't want to go there, all right? But when that looks at me and says, "You can't touch it," people are going to think that I was trying to...
Grab his thing?
I'm going to the toilet.
Yeah, there she goes to the toilet again.
You know, every time she gets pissed off, you don't go to the toilet.
I have to go to the toilet.
Okay, go to the toilet. President Obama came armed with an arsenal of biting one-liners at the presidential at the final presidential debate Monday night, trying to paint Mitt Romney as all over the map on foreign affairs, but he encountered a Republican rival who returned fire in moderation. I'm reading a Fox News story, by the way, folks. How much money would you give me? I'm reading the Fox News story. Now, some people may think, well, that's the accurate way. I'm sure. And what do you think it would sound like if we pulled up MSNBC? In any event, President Obama came armed with an arsenal of biting one-liners at the final presidential debate Monday night, trying to paint Mitt Romney as all over the map on foreign affairs, but he encountered a Republican rival who returned fire in moderation, at times chiding the president for weakness on the world stage, but also finding common ground with the man he's been running against for nearly 2 years. The debate in Boca Raton, Florida, the last before a feverish two-week blitz of campaigning, was a departure from the candidate's previous bout. A week ago, the two paced around each other in an interruption-filled bickering match. On Monday night, the rivals were seated next to one another, making for a less confrontational setting, though the candidates' differences were still on full display. To hear Romney tell it, the president has presided over a steady decline in American influence that has emboldened enemies like Iran. In nowhere in the world is America's influence greater today than it was 4 years ago. Nowhere in the world is America's influence greater today than it was 4 years ago. That's not really eroding, is it? It's just maintaining... I'm going to tell you in a moment, and you may have already guessed, what I think about this campaign up to this point. And it's not an angry opinion, and it's not necessarily a negative opinion. I'm going to tell you what I think about this campaign and about presidential campaigns and about presidents in just a second. Just so you know, I'm not sitting here reading this and thinking, wow, because this, I'm not...
You don't think that's important?
I don't think that this... I think people are breathless over these campaigns. I mean, it's getting ridiculous. I mean, these debates, these campaigns, you'd swear to God that they're talking about, I mean, this is the cure for male pattern baldness. And you know what? These debates and these campaigns are overblown the way any and all events in America are today. Everything is blown way out of proportion.
Yeah, but it's the future of the country.
Oh, is it really the future of the country? Is it?
What are you talking about? Yeah, it's the future of the country.
Is it the future of the country? Is it really the future of the country? You know, 4 years ago, when Obama was elected president, I heard people talking about how the country was going to go to hell in a handcart, and they have been wishing and hoping and praying for that to happen, and it never did. We got problems, but when have we not had problems? We've got all kinds of stuff going on, but the people that predicted Obama was going to take this country to hell and back were fervently praying for that to happen. They wanted it to happen. They needed it to happen. Don't tell me that you weren't. And it didn't happen. Now, what do I think of Romney? I think Romney's a good man. I don't think there's anything fundamentally devilish about being a Mormon. I could be wrong.
You don't know about the underwear they wear?
They're very weird, Phil.
Well, I don't buy it, okay? I'm sorry, I'm not going to buy it. They may have some sects that are weird, no weirder than some of these other Christian groups I see running around, and Muslim groups, and some of these other Jewish... There's not a religion I can think of, man, that doesn't have some freaky, weird-ass, child-molesting aspect to it. Some sect someplace. Multiple wives? I don't care. This guy seems to be okay. Now, people may say that I'm a chump and I don't get it. I get it. I get it better than you ever think I would. I get it better than anybody that's probably listening to this gets it. Here's how I get it. This country has had presidential campaigns going back over 200 years. We've had all kinds of guys. We've had at least two presidents that I can think of who, on the face of things, should have gone to prison. Warren G. Harding and Richard Nixon. Just... On the face of the events and the evidence presented, those two guys could have gone to prison. But, as you well know, every single president that ever served, in the minds of most Americans, probably should have gone to jail because we've allowed ourselves to become cynical and stupid when it comes to this stuff.
Well, you're calling people stupid, Phil. That's not going to work. People have to feel empowered. And they have...
Hold on, Margaret. I'm not calling people stupid. I'm just saying let me put it this way. It's an ignorant way of looking at things. There's been all kinds of presidential elections. There have been all kinds of issues. Even World War II. Wendell Willkie, the Republican, the isolationist, against Franklin Roosevelt, who wanted to engage Germany and Japan, who wanted to go to war on behalf of Winston Churchill. Guess who Franklin Roosevelt sent to Europe to be his personal ambassador to the Allies as America was lend-leasing?
I don't know.
Wendell Willkie, the Republican candidate he'd been running against. Willkie, when he saw what was going on in Europe, got off of that isolationist kick, got off of the whole, you know, and he was once again an American, because that's who we are.
Well, I don't, Phil. I don't know. What is his name again?
Wendell
Willkie, man, that sounds like a made-up name.
Yeah, is it a joke name?
No, it's not a joke name.
Well, I've never heard of him, and it doesn't make any difference. You're saying that some man in the 19... I'm saying that the future of the country is riding on the re-election of Barack Obama. And if Obama is not re-elected president of the United States, you might as well put latex gloves on Mitt Romney, because guess what, girls? He'll be knocking on your door, pulling those gloves on.
Pulling those gloves on, yeah.
And sticking his hand up. That, I truly believe that.
Boy, you talk about hyperbole, Matt.
No, not hyperbole. You can call any of the gals out there who agree with me and...
No, Mr. Angry's not...
Get out of here. How dare... Any of the women out there...
Get off the microphone, Margaret. How many times have I told you?
Any of the women who agree with me, please call. Mitt Romney is putting the latex gloves on, right? He's going to put his hand...
Well, you can whisper it. People won't hear.
He's going to put his hand down my...
Down your what?
You're getting a kick out of this, aren't you?
Well, Margaret, you know, Phil told you people are here.
I understand that, but I have the right to a free... To make this free speech... To make...
You got the right to the free speech.
No, I have the right... Yes, to free speech.
Go ahead, I'm not stopping you.
Mitt Romney is getting sized for a pair of latex gloves, okay? What are you...
Okay.
I'm whispering because I'm a lady. And as soon as he slides those on, they're going right down my...
What? We can't hear you.
You heard me.
No, I didn't hear you.
They're going to go right down my...
All right, let me just tell you what I think you said.
No, I'll say it.
No, I think you said panties.
How dare you?
Well, is that what you said, or if you're whispering...
I'm trying to be a lady.
All right, you were a lady and I was not a gentleman. I said the word, but is that the word?
And Phil, don't yell or scream at me so that your voice cracks.
What are you talking about?
Like that.
Well, Margaret, okay, in essence, what you're saying is Mitt Romney being re-elected or being elected president of the United States means he's going to give a gynecological exam to every woman in America.
Yes, Mitt Romney will consider, I'm going to say it, Mitt Romney, ladies, considers your vagina his personal property. Now, think of that. Think of that. And in a moment, I'm going to have Vernon Dozier. I called Vernon Dozier, who's become an Obama fan. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. But I know there's a lot of people, a lot of independents that are going back and forth.
Well, this is significant because I told him my philosophy and he got quite upset. And he'll be on next here on the Margaret Gray Show. I mean, I'm sorry.
The Margaret Gray Show? It's my show.
Oh, look at you with your Ooh! Very territorial, aren't you?
Margaret, I'm not being territorial. I'm trying to get our show moved along as I listen to you saying Mitt Romney's slapping on the latex gloves.
I said he's pulling them on.
Yeah, he's pulling on his glove, pulling off his slacks.
You know, ordinarily I'd slap your face for that, but in a lot of ways, you're right.
Okay, just so I'm clear, you're saying I'm Mitt Romney.
Well, you support Mitt Romney.
You're damn right I do. And you're saying Mitt Romney is pulling on a pair of latex gloves and sliding off his slacks.
Yes.
What kind of a comment is that? You think that Mitt Romney is some rapist?
I'm not saying he's a rapist. I am saying, though, that any of these Republicans that are going to affect a woman's right to choose, they think your vagina belongs to them. And if your vagina belongs to them, what's the next step? Taking liberties with you as your man looks on, as your man is restrained by his advance guard. Like in the movie Rob Roy, when Tim Roth went into the small cottage in Scotland.
Will you come on with all this crap? That to me, see, that's the kind of ridiculously extreme commentary. And it happens on the other side, too. There's people saying the same things about Obama. And I got to tell you, you know, I was on Facebook today. And if you want to join us on our Facebook page, it's facebook.com/ Phil Hendry Fans, PHANS. That's Phil Hendry Fans, PHANS.
That's not the way you spell it.
I know that, bud. It's just a little play on things, okay?
You know, I know you don't spell it that way. That's why you went on it.
Yeah, but how are people going to find it?
That's why I'm spelling it out, knucklehead. And a lady, and you know, and there's no, to me, Facebook is like the headquarters of the anti-Obama people. I mean, the maybe it's just the people that friend me or something. I don't know. But the news feeds all this Obama stuff. But there's one lady. Now, this is what I mean. It's kind of, what does that mean, you know? This lady wrote, she's watching the debate, she says, is Obama bleaching his skin? This was her question.
What does that mean?
It was a very good question. I mean, that's what I asked her. I actually, usually I don't comment on other people's thing. I couldn't help myself. What does that mean? What does that mean, is Obama bleaching his skin? Because I looked at some of the comments above my comment, and they were all, you know, ha-ha, you know, as long as he doesn't get his ears pinned back, this kind of stuff. You know, nobody really asked the same question. What does it mean, is Obama bleaching his skin? And why would Obama bleach? See, to me, that's that kind of racial, non-racial chiding that a lot of white people do. And when you call them on it, they go, oh, that's not racist. But all right, I'll grant you it's not. So what is that? Why did you ask a question like that?
Well, I mean, why can't you? It's not against the law.
Man, that's not it, man. Why would you ask? Well, do you ask me if I bleach my skin?
Sometimes I want to.
Yeah, maybe I want to ask you, man, when you're going to get a nose job or maybe get your face fixed. You ever thought about that?
Oh, yeah. Are you saying there's something wrong with my face?
Yeah.
Well.
All right. We'll come back. We got who? Vernon Dozier coming up next as we discuss Mitt Romney. Vernon Dozier's gone from the he's gone from the Republican side over to the Barack Obama side. Did he say that to you?
Yes, he has said that he is declaring in favor of Barack Obama. And I wanted to get him on with Larry Grover, and I don't know where Larry is. I think Larry's hiding.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier and his talking to us about going from being a Romney supporter to an Obama supporter. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Did you hear what I said? I said he's putting his hand right down my head.
No one can hear you. On the line with me here is Vernon Dozier from Glendale, California. Vernon is also the head football coach at Belmar Academy. And I got to ask you, Vernon, right off the bat, how's the team? How's the season?
The team's doing good, Phil. And we have two more away games. I can't.
Can you hold on for a minute? Because I can barely hear him. Where is he? Vernon, can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yeah.
What is up with these phones tonight? So you got two more road games?
We have a couple of road games. One of them is going to be in Boron, which is the northern desert city. Kids are going to get up into the Mojave Desert, and it's going to be a long bus ride, but I think we're going to have a good time up there.
I remember when my guys played the high school up there. Is it Boron High School?
I don't. Yes, it is, but I don't know. I don't know that this team, because the school closed and then reopened, so I don't know that this team is from the same school necessarily that your boys played.
How's the season?
We're doing fine right now. We got a league loss, which was unfortunate. It was against our rival Washington, and I think we got a little overzealous. We thought we had a sack. And instead what happened was we had a rough in the passer call, which I didn't think was a very fair call, and that gave them a first down. But you know what? That's football, and we're teaching at the high school level, so I don't make I try not to make these things life and death, but they do get to you, you know.
So you had a bad call, huh?
I think it was a bad call, yeah, and I'm trying to move past it. They're our big rival. The stadium is full, and it was also homecoming for our alumni, and so this call of roughing the passer, and I said to the referee, he's a CIF referee, he's a good man, and I know him. I'm not going to use his name or anything, but I did tell him. I said, you know, I'm very disappointed in that call. I said, what you have done, I don't think you know what you've done. I said, this is our homecoming. I said, we are 5-0 in our league. I said that we've got another shot at playing for our division. We could be a Southern Section champion for the very first time in the CIF in California. People don't know if they're listening around the country. We have two sections in California.
Right. The states that it's a big state, so there's a Northern Section, Southern Section.
That's correct, yes. And I said, you don't even know what you've done. We lost the game because of your lousy call. I said, and I understand we got kids here and the parents are here, and I'm not going to make a big issue out of it. I said, but in any other setting, I would take you, before the.
Did you threaten him?
No. What I said is I would take you in front of the Board of Governors, and I would make sure you never refereed another football game as long as you walked this earth. That's what I said. What I wanted to say was that let's you and I settle this in the parking lot, but I know you can't do that.
No, you don't want to do that. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Coach, but that is the nature of the game. You get some calls. Is there any kind of a review?
No, that we don't have. Yes, there is a supervisor of officials in the CIF, but we don't have the kind of comprehensive supervision and the review of plays that they have in the pro level or maybe even the college level. No, it's definitely not anything that I can't go and say, excuse me, but my team, all of these young people, were assaulted, violently assaulted from behind. You know, hint, hint, nudge, nudge. Would you please review that? I can't say that because that's how I feel.
And
all right, okay. Let's get off this. It's very emotional. And let's talk about, Margaret tells me that you are now an Obama man.
Yeah, I would say that. I talked to Margaret earlier with a few provisos. I think I would vote for Obama. It's more of a reaction to Romney and what Ms. Gray and I were talking about today.
Because I had been up at Belmar. Can you hear me? Hello, Vernon, it's Margaret.
Yes, Ms. Gray.
Phil, I was up at Belmar today doing a roundtable with the journalism students. They have their little student newspaper up there. What is it called? The Belmar what?
Yeah, it's called the Belmar Bell Ringer. And we've published it now. I have been the student advisor on that. I've been the teacher advisor, I should say, on that for 3 years now.
The Belmar...
It's called the Belmar Bell Ringer. I really think that name should be changed.
Well, you know what, Margaret? That's just the name that it's going to have. I picked that name out, and I put it to a vote of the students. I said, my idea is the Belmar Bell Ringer. I thought, I think it rings a bell. And they said, sure, whatever you say. I knew they were humoring me, that they think I'm, probably half senile. But now you come along, and you want to change it. And
well, that's not what we're going to talk about, is it?
No, I want to talk about Obama, but I want to make, Bell Ringer is the Belmar Bell Ringer.
I'm just saying that I think you need to change the name.
We're not going to change the name, so next topic.
Okay, let's just table that. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, more with Vernon Dozier.
What do you think of that name, the Belmar Bell Ringer?
Oh, it's a stupid newspaper. So what? Hey, that's gay. Gay as hell.
Yeah, you what, man?
You're an idiot, man. You're an idiot.
You're an idiot. You're an idiot. You got...